Lord, I thank you in this moment that last truth that we're closer than we ever have been. That you've never been distant from us, that no matter how we feel right now, you're actually closer than we can imagine. And I'm just asking that you would give me a greater awareness of how close you are. The power of your blood, not just to have you not be angry at me, but that you actually did it so that you could be one with me, with all of us, that the prayer of Jesus before he was crucified, that they would be one just as you, Father, and I are one. That's your heart, that's your desire, and that's our reality. So I pray that we would grow in that we would embrace that as a community of followers, as individuals that have been washed by your blood, Jesus, and made whole and made new. Lord, teach us something new today. Make our hearts come alive by your presence. Holy Spirit, we yield to you this morning. We say yes. Make much of Jesus. Make much of our King. It's his name we pray. Amen. 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 Go ahead and have a seat, guys. Oh, man, it's been a great morning so far, and we are honored that you're here. Today is a special day because we have a good friend of mine, a man that has been a mentor, a friend, a coach for me. We've known each other for about 10 years. We met in God's Promised Land, the Buckeye State up north, Ohio. And although he's not a Buckeye, I'm trying to get him on that, but you'll hear a second. His allegiance really lies somewhere that you'll appreciate. But he is an amazing man, has been walking with the Lord, has been pastoring and ministering across the U.S. for 30 plus years, and has ministered in hundreds of churches, helped many churches navigate hard things, navigate good things, really has a desire to see a healthy local church. That's really his heart. And so I believe he's going to bless you today. Let's put a warm welcome for my good friend, Ed Funderburk.
Good. Thanks, Pastor. Love you. Thank you. Well, good morning. What an honor. Thank you so much. Such a good day to be in the house of the Lord. And I am so glad to be in my favorite state, Tennessee. I was actually born in Tennessee back in 1961. So that's been a little while. But I am a lifelong Tennessee Volunteer fan. So do I have some friends in the house? What a great weekend we've had. I tell you, we have been running full throttle since my plane landed in the Mecca, Knoxville, back on Friday afternoon, and had a great time with Gary and Gina as they drove me up this way, got a good conversation in, and we went right into an evening meeting with the board and had a great meal. By the way, Bristol Cafe rocks. I'm just going to tell you that because they provided our dinner for us and it was delicious. And then yesterday morning from 9 until 1, I had the privilege of doing a 4-hour leadership training with over 100 of your leaders. Last night, a great dinner with my good friends, Pastor Derek and Kate. This is one precious couple and you are a blessed people to have them as your leaders. Can we honor them today? I'm so thankful for them and for the team that God has assembled here. It's just a wonderful church. And if you're a guest, I want to invite you to come back when your pastor here is preaching. I'm just the pinch hitter today, kind of standing in for a great man of God, but it's an honor to share with you. And if you have your Bible, I want to ask you to turn to two passages of Scripture. The primary text where I'll spend the majority of my time today is in Isaiah 61. So turn to Isaiah 61, and if you would, maybe put a marker at Jeremiah chapter 29. So that's where I'll end in about 35 minutes. And so here's kind of where I want to go with the message today. Some 36 years as a pastor and leader in the church, I've discovered something that puzzles me, it confuses me, it befuddles me. It's something that I can't quite make out. And here's what I've discovered, that many people who regularly attend church are sad and depressed, and many of them are living unfulfilled lives. These are people who regularly attend church. They read their Bibles. They pray. Many of them serve in the church. They give offerings to the church. They've paid attention well enough to know what they should be doing, and they're trying to do those things. But when you examine their lives closely, you may discover, as I have, that many of them are miserable. They're not living a joy-filled life. You know, Jesus promised an abundant life, a joy-filled life in John 10:10, but many of them are just not there yet. So what's the reason behind that? And as a result of their misery, They have very little positive influence on their neighbors, their coworkers, their friends, and their family members. So aren't you glad Mr. Encouragement came from Texas to share that good news with you? Yeah. So we all know it's true, but the better question is, why is that true? So I want to address that in just a moment. But before I even get to the primary text, would you commit to me not to be a distraction to anyone around you? In the 30 minutes or so that are remaining here, here's what I want to ask you to do, is just fully pay attention. Give me your undivided attention, because it could be that the person I'm describing here that's struggling and unfulfilled and living that less than stellar Christian life is seated immediately in front of you. That person could be right behind you, and I don't want you to get distracted with something and interfere with them hearing the message today. It could be that that person's to your right or to your left, and it's possible that that person actually rode with you in the same car on the way to the service today. And it may be that the person I'm describing earlier, as I've set up the message today, that person is seated in your chair. It's possible that God wants to speak to you. It's possible that He wants to speak to someone right around you. So please, as we continue, just listen attentively. And here's what I want to do. I want to ask and answer one question. Why is this true? Why are there so many defeated, discouraged, miserable Christians? I believe there are a number of reasons, but I want to focus on the primary reason, and here's the answer to that question, why. The church at large has only emphasized one of the ministries of Jesus. In other words, Jesus came to do several things for us, but most churches only emphasize that first ministry of Jesus. And while it's very important, there's more that He wants to do. And we're going to see that today as we journey toward Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 is a prophetic picture. It's a snapshot of the soon-to-come ministry of the Messiah, Jesus. But there's one verse I want to use from the New Testament to simply tie into the Isaiah text. So go ahead and turn to Isaiah 61. We'll look at verses 1 and 2. But maybe in your margin, if you're a note taker, write down John 17, verse 4. John 17, verse 4. John 17, in my opinion, is the most beautiful prayer ever prayed. And the entire prayer is recorded right here in the scripture. And it took place in the last hours of Jesus' life. Now, we just celebrated Easter a few weeks ago. And so this took place right before Jesus went to the cross, after He had served His disciples by washing their feet. Isn't it amazing? In the last hours of Jesus' life, He had one more act of service in Him. He modeled something for us there. That was followed by what we know as the Last Supper, where He gathered His closest followers, and they shared a meal together and communed together with the bread and the wine, as well as a meal. And then it was from there that he prayed this prayer, and then He journeyed into the Garden of Gethsemane. And Luke's account tells us that was there as the disciples fell asleep, He grieved so deeply that He actually sweat drops of blood, because He was in such agony accepting the assignment that God had on His life to pay for our sin. Isn't that incredible? But it was this amazing prayer, one verse from that prayer, John 17, verse 4, where He prayed this, "Father, I have brought You glory here on earth by completing the work You gave me to do." Father, I have brought You glory here on earth. And so I have to ask, how many of you here at Christ Fellowship Kingsport want to bring glory to God with your life? Anybody in the house want to bring glory to God with your life? See, Jesus models for us how to accomplish that very thing. And it was by carrying out the assignment. God gave Jesus a job description. There are several things we're going to see here. I promise we're going to get to Isaiah 61. And when we do, there's a list of things that Jesus said, "I've done everything You gave me to do." And in doing so, He brought glory to God. And I believe in a similar way, God has an assignment on each of your lives. There are gifts and talents that God has deposited in your life, and they are to be used to serve and to help others in the same way that Jesus' ministries, His assignment, helped Him carry out what He was called to do. God has an assignment for you. But I have a warning, you'll never be able to complete your assignment unless you fully understand and apply all of the ministries of Jesus to your life. And so let's look together, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah prophesying years before the Messiah would come. It says here, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Can I just recommend that for all of us? I know my wife prefers me when I'm under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I would imagine those around you would like the same. So under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he says, prophesying of Jesus, he said, "He has chosen me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to minister recovery of sight to the blind, to preach freedom to the captives, to set at liberty those who are bruised, and finally, the sixth item here, to proclaim or announce the year of the Lord's favor." So in the time that I have, I'm going to walk through each of these six items on Jesus' job description, and I want you to ask yourself as we look at each of these, have I applied that ministry of Jesus to my life? And as I close in prayer, that's what we're going to do today, is just simply ask the Lord to allow all of His ministries to be fully activated in our lives so that we can fulfill our life purpose as well. Item number one on this great job description, Jesus came to preach the gospel, to preach the good news to the poor. Please don't be distracted by the prepositional phrase, "to the poor." Listen, it doesn't matter. By the way, God certainly cares for the poor, but you could be so rich. You could have money that is unspendable. But the truth is, if you don't have a relationship with God, you're poor. And so this would apply to every one of us. So the focus here is the good news. This, in my opinion, is the one ministry of Jesus that the church does really well. We preach the gospel. We declare that Jesus is the only way. He's not one way. He is the only way to God. Salvation is the greatest miracle that any of us will ever experience. In other words, a person could be physically healed and still die and spend eternity separated from God. The Bible's very clear, you must be born again. And so salvation is available to each and every person here. It is wonderful, it is necessary, it's essential. Salvation is very important, and I want to so emphasize salvation. It's needed by all of us, but listen, you will soon discover, if you are born again, that salvation doesn't solve all the problems that we face this side of heaven. You see, there are other ministries of Jesus that He wants to extend to our lives. And when the church only emphasizes salvation, in essence, we cheapen the death of Christ because there's more that He wants to make available to us. You see, He wants to do more than get us to heaven. He wants to help us this side of heaven while we're still here living on earth. And so in addition to this first ministry of Jesus, what are some of the other ways He wants to help us? Item number two tells us Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Jesus came to extend to us inner healing, emotional healing. Has anyone other than me ever experienced a broken heart? Is there anyone here that's ever had a broken heart? Could it be that you came to church today and because of some pain in your family, some circumstance that's outside your control, you came to church today with a sad heart, with a broken heart? Life is difficult from season to season, and many of you may have come in today with a broken heart. There's a great promise in addition to this text here in Isaiah 61, Psalm 34, verse 18, there's a promise. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted, and it says He saves those who are crushed in spirit. If you're experiencing a broken heart, the good news is the Lord is near. And so I want to encourage you today that the greatest need in the church today is for God to heal the hearts of those who already have a relationship with Him. If you're here today and you need prayer for a broken heart, good news, before I close the service, I'm going to pray that God would heal broken hearts. There's a third item on this amazing job description. Jesus came to minister recovery of sight to the blind. This is a clear reference to physical healing. Now, I'm absolutely puzzled again by the bad theology that exists in the great majority of mainline evangelical churches all across our country. What I was taught when I went to Bible school, to seminary many, many years ago, is that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the power gifts, had ceased. That would include physical healing. The argument was that once the church had been fully established at the end of the first century, that those gifts were no longer necessary, no longer operational. Here's a problem with that. The Bible does not support that view, nor does history. And so if you're here today and you need a touch from God in your body, good news, God is still in the physical healing business. There's a great promise again in Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3, a great reminder. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Forget not all of his benefits." You know, we're prone to forget. We have a tendency to let things just slip our mind. And God is reminding us that there's ministries that he wants to make available to us. The first is listed, he forgives all our sin. There's the ministry of salvation. How many of you are grateful today that God saves us, right? And then he continues by saying, and he heals all our diseases. So if you came to church today in need of a touch, you need physical healing, here's what I want to tell you. God is not in heaven this morning nervous. As I'm making this declaration on his behalf, God is not wiping his brow, sweating profusely, concerned that I'm overpromising on his behalf. No, God can touch and heal your body. And as we close the service today, we're going to pray for salvation, for emotional healing. We're also going to pray for God to minister physical healing to our bodies. There's a fourth item I want to reference. Jesus came to preach freedom to the captive, freedom from bondage, freedom from addiction, freedom from unhealthy life patterns. You see, person could be in bondage to many things. It could be some of the taboo sins of our culture, things like drug addiction or alcoholism. Those are ones that we immediately think of, but it could be something like pornography. Can I tell you, that is rampant both inside and outside the church, men and women. Boys and girls, younger and older, these are vices and addictions and bondages that the enemy has just made available, and many have taken those into their lives. And God today wants to touch and set us free of things that prevent us from the closeness that he desires with us. And so if you're here today and you struggle with any of those, good news, freedom is available. And you might think, Ed, that's great, but I'm not struggling there. What's next? Before we jump ahead, let me ask another question in the area of this particular item on Jesus's job description, in the area of receiving freedom. Could it be that you're here and you struggle terribly with insecurity? Could it be that you're someone who finds his or her identity in their performance? It may be that you would say, when I perform well as a husband, as a father, as a wife, as a mother, as a son or daughter, as an employer, as an employee, whatever the role might be, when I'm performing well, when things are going well, I feel really good about who I am and in my relationship with God. But many times I'm not doing well and I don't feel so well. We're living with insecurity. We're living with a performance-based mindset, and God wants today to set us free. If you're struggling with anything that you know to be not of the Lord, it's something that you know you need to be free of, today is the day to receive this fourth ministry of Jesus into your life. I can think back to three specific encounters that are just remarkable in my life. All the way back in 1982, I was a very confused college student, age 21. I had stacked a number of bad decisions, and I had been in trouble for a little while. And it was at that time that I cried out to the Lord, and he saved me. I'm so grateful for my salvation. I don't believe I'll ever get over it. I can go back to the exact place that I asked Jesus into my heart. When I invited him in, he cleaned me up and he set me on a new path and gave me new friendships and began to connect me to people who could help me move forward in my relationship with him. I'm so thankful for my salvation. But I later discovered that I needed more than just salvation, not to get to heaven, not to have access to God, but to live a life that would please God. And so several years later, I was wonderfully baptized with the Holy Spirit. I remember the year. It was 1990, shortly after I had been married. I got married in 1989, and my wife had a relationship with God that was much deeper and more beautiful than the one I was living out. And her influence on my life led me into a deeper place with God. And I'm so thankful for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that the gifts of the Holy Spirit were now available in my life. And I lived in a new and a more meaningful way in my relationship with the Lord. But even with those two great encounters, there was still an area of my life that God had not fully redeemed. And while I was born again and I had experienced this great baptism with the Holy Spirit, my family would tell you what they're most pleased with is something that took place in my life when I was 43 years old. This was some 14 or 15 years ago, and I was on staff at Gateway Church in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, the fastest growing church in America at the time, and I was dealing with a hidden issue that really no one other than those very, very close to me, my immediate family, knew about. I was struggling for many, many years since childhood with maniacal, raging anger. The smallest thing could set me off, and that all too familiar adrenaline rush would re-enter my life, and I would respond in such an ungodly way. What should have been a response like this would get this. I call it, instead of a fly swatter, I would use a shotgun. And it did so much damage beyond what I intended. And I was unable on my own to overcome that. I needed freedom. And there was an episode while I was on staff at Gateway where I got crossed up. By the way, I don't recommend this to anyone. I got crossed up with my boss. We had a discussion, and in fun, he was teasing me in an area, and it really cut the wrong way. And I asked him, whatever you do, don't ever do that again. I was trying to be kind, but I wanted him to know I was establishing a boundary. And so immediately he leaned in and did the very same thing with a laugh. And before I knew what was happening, I grabbed my boss and pulled him across his own desk. Pens and pencils went everywhere, his coffee spilled, and he's looking at me with big eyes, and I had pulled back my left fist to punch him in the nose. And I was able to kind of gather myself, but that again, I was quivering and shaking in this maniacal rage that was familiar to me, but not in the workplace. Rather than fire me, thank God for a great leader, rather than give me what I deserved, he brought me to HR and they worked out a plan to get me professional counseling. If you're wondering why Gateway Church has such a great freedom ministry, I was the reason. I'm just telling you, I needed help. And it was at that time that I went to see a wonderful spirit-filled counselor. And literally, she later joined the Gateway team and began our freedom ministry at Gateway. I think Pastor Robert determined if she can help him, she can help anybody. So I remember meeting with this counselor, and for the first time ever, my wife didn't know, none of my close friends knew, but I disclosed to her an event that took place over a period of years. As a little boy in a children's home, I had been repeatedly sexually abused, and my response to that was one of violent anger. It was the way I got away from the abuser. I just became a raging little lunatic as an 8-year-old boy, and finally he left me alone. And so at 8, it helped me. It was a coping mechanism. At 18, it got me in trouble with the law. At 28, it had really begun to negatively impact my marriage. And as I was 38, it almost ended my marriage. But thank God at 43, I experienced a spirit-filled counselor who helped me find freedom. Why would I tell you such a long story and a very transparent and personal story? Listen, there are others in this room who have believed a lie like I did. I thought, God, thank you for all that you've done, I'll always struggle in this area. That's a lie. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we see in John chapter 8, there's a familiar verse that reminds us that freedom is available to all of us. I'm going to get back to my notes. I told a long story, didn't I? So John 8:36 says, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." We are completely and totally free. We're unquestionably free. Has the Spirit of the Lord touched your life in this way? Don't believe a lie that you'll always struggle in a particular way. Receive the freedom that is available to you. Item number 5 on this unbelievable job description: Jesus came to set at liberty those who are bruised. What a peculiar word, those who are bruised. Well, this is a second reference to inner healing or emotional healing. Now, there's a verse tucked away at the very end of the 20th Proverb, Proverb 20, verse 30, and in today's English version, which is a modern paraphrase, it says this: "Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways." Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us alter our behavior, to change our ways. How many of you know you only have to touch a hot stove one time to know, "I don't ever want to do that again"? Am I right? Yeah, we learn through pain oftentimes. Sometimes a painful experience will forever redirect our lives. I remember shortly after we moved to the Dallas-Fort Worth area, this was in the spring of 03, so it's been some time ago, 16 years ago, we had just moved into a new home, and maybe 2 weeks into that new home, I am sound asleep one night about 2 a.m. when I hear a shrill cry coming from upstairs, and instantly I knew, that's my little boy Levi. He's 21 today, but at this time, Levi was 5 years old. And when I heard him cry out, as I'm awakened in the pitch black of night, I'm reminded, as I'm coming to, that we just assembled bunk beds. And so I feared he's fallen and broken his neck. And so without really thinking about the best way to help him, I'm on my feet running pitch black of night through an unfamiliar house, not even aware of where furniture is. And as I get close to the stairs, going to be a good father to help my little boy, I caught my thigh on the corner of a piano bench that had been left turned out. And if you're curious, even though I was a Spirit-filled pastor, I did not say, "Praise the Lord." I didn't quote any of my favorite scriptures. I'm telling you, I hobbled upstairs and I was in great pain. And so by the time I got to Levi, he was fine. He had already gotten back into bed. I tucked him in, prayed over him. He was fine. He would be fast asleep. But dear old dad had a significant bruise, and I really appreciate your great sympathy for my pain. But I hobbled back downstairs, slept a little longer, and I had a men's Bible study that I led the next morning. So I went to my men's group wearing shorts and a t-shirt, and I remember I wanted them to see my bruise. Not one man in that group was any more sympathetic than you. Not one. But however, they all were experts. They had advice for me, unsolicited. Do you ever get advice you don't request? Yeah, so I did on this day. So I heard things like, "Slow down, life's not an emergency, don't run in the dark." And you know, all of those, if I'm honest, it was really good advice, but I didn't want that advice. So my advice to you, if somebody's not requesting your advice, don't share your advice. That's good advice, even if it's unwelcome advice. So, all right, moving along. So on this day, no one was real sympathetic, but they did see the bruise. There was one man in the group that said, "Hey, I've got a good idea. Why don't you stay in bed and let your wife take care of those boys?" Now, that's pretty funny. But how many of you know not all painful experiences make us laugh? And many of you are dealing with pain in your life, and it's not humorous at all. It could be that you're here today and you're living with intense emotional pain. Others, every day you deal with chronic physical pain in your body. There are others who have been abandoned or abused. Some have been neglected. Some of you live with just a feeling of having been rejected by those who should be most loving towards you. If any of these are your experience, it is likely that you too have bruises. So what exactly is a bruise? If you think about it, it's simply an indicator. A bruise is an outward sign that something inside has been wounded. And as I had that bruise on my leg, a physical bruise, it would be similar to the emotional bruises that we carry. We hobble through life because of the pain that we've experienced. It may be that your bruise is brought on by a spouse who was unfaithful and betrayed you at the highest level. If that is your plight, I want you to know my heart goes out to you. I can't imagine how difficult that would be to process. It may be that you've had your heart broken by a wayward child. You raised them the best you knew how, and as they got older, they turned their heart from the Lord. That is so difficult for a parent to process. It may be that you've been fired unjustly by a boss for something that you did not do, yet it still cost you your job. It may be that you have been humiliated and embarrassed by a coach when you failed to execute a play and cost your team an important game. And it could be that you're here today, and although you attend church, the truth is you don't trust church leadership. And the reason is at some point in your past, in another church, somewhere in another place, a pastor or a spiritual leader did not live the way he taught. He had a double life. He told you one thing and got you to lean into believing those things. But as you examined his life, he was the opposite of that. He was not someone who was consistent with what he was teaching. And so if that's true, you could struggle to follow and trust leadership. If any of these things are true in your life, listen to me, God sent Jesus to minister to the bruise that exists in your life. So we've seen today that God came through Christ to minister salvation and emotional healing and physical healing, that he came to set us free. There's one other thing that I want us to see before we close, and the final item is this, item number 6, Jesus came to proclaim, to announce the year of the Lord's favor. And so I have to ask, how many of you could stand to get a little more of God's favor on your life? Anybody in the house that would not mind if God just extended his favor your way? Some of us need to be encouraged. We need to receive hope. I believe the greatest strategy of the enemy is to steal our hope. There's a great story. I don't have time to develop it, so here's your homework. Please, on your own this week, read Acts chapter 27. This is a recording. It's a lengthy story. It's a beautiful story of a shipwreck, and Paul was one of 276 men on a boat who went through a terrible storm, and the winds and the wave were destroying the boat. And they all feared for their lives. But Paul had a word from God. He knew that he would preach one day in Rome. He had not gotten there yet. So by faith, he told them, we're going to get through the storm. And he began to give them direction. Real leadership came on him. And they began to go into the underbelly of the ship and toss overboard the things that were weighing this ship down that prevented them from making progress to the island they were trying to get to. Can I suggest to you, if you're in a storm, if you're in a difficult season, much like what is described here in this text, it could be that there are relationships you need to discard. There are habits, there are things that you're allowing to exist in your life that are preventing you from making the progress that God wants to make with you. And so I want to suggest to you that there's hope in Christ. This verse tells us that we lose hope, but this next verse, as we close, Jeremiah 29:11 says, God has plans for our lives. Here's the promise. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. So I want to ask you to stand with me. As I close, I'm going to pray for you, and we're just going to one by one pray over these 6 items and ask the Lord to extend those to us. So what I'm actually doing right now, I'm just going to convert the auditorium into an altar. And so even though you have not left your seat, you're at the altar today, and you've heard just me walk through this wonderful job description of everything Jesus has made available to us. And I'd encourage you to ask, which of these do I need to apply to my life? So as I pray, I want you to receive the ministries of Jesus that are missing in your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for all that is available to us. Thank you for your love for us, that you sent Jesus to touch and heal our lives, to help us, to set us free, all of the things that we've discussed today. And God, we pray that right now, that those in the room who have never encountered you personally, who have never been forgiven of their sin, they've never been born again, they've never been saved, they've not received this first and primary ministry, Lord, we pray that right now they would receive salvation. If that's you, just ask the Lord to forgive your sin and receive Him into your life today. I know there are people here that would love to help you on your journey. So receive the ministry of salvation. I believe there are probably a great number of people here who would like me say, I'm dealing with a broken heart. Father, we pray for those with broken hearts. We ask that you would touch and heal broken hearts. Lord, we recognize that today, tomorrow, this week, our circumstances may not change. But God, we trust that you're near to the brokenhearted, and you can save those who are crushed in spirit. Would you help those who are dealing with broken hearts? Heal their broken hearts is my prayer in Jesus' name. It may be that you need physical healing, whether a cancer report or a common cold. You just are struggling with chronic pain, whatever it might be. Lord, we pray right now for those who have a diagnosis over their life, those who are dealing with sickness and pain. Would you touch and heal your sons and daughters? We pray for physical healing today in the name of Jesus. God, I also want to pray for those who are dealing with issues of freedom. Thank you for what you did in my life. I pray freedom for people from bondage and addiction. May we not live believing the lie that we'll always struggle. God, would you also minister to bruises, heal bruises in our lives, and Father, would you extend to us hope and favor and encouragement. We pray that in the same way that it's been raining outside, you would pour open the heavens, Lord. You would throw open heavens and just release to us in great measure favor and hope and encouragement. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You have been wonderful to speak to. I've had a wonderful weekend. Thank you so much for being here today. If you still have a prayer need, there'll be a prayer ministry team here at the altar, and they would love to pray for you. So you can come as we end the service here now. Thank you for being here. Have a blessed week. Come and receive prayer if you have a need in your life. Blessings.